ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। A reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 18, Text Number 10. We'll start with the synonyms. Yaha, yaha, kataha, bhagavataha, kataniya, karmanaha, guna, karma, ashrayaha, samsevaya, samsevyaha, taha, bubushubhihi, Yayaha katha bhagavata katani yoru kormanaha guna karma shreya pumbi samsevyastha bubushubhi yaya katha bhagavata Katani yaru karmanaha guna karma shreya pumbi samsevyastha bubushubhi yaya katha bhagavata katani yaru karmanaha guna karma shreya pumbi samsevyastha bubushubhi. Please chant. Yakata mahata Ladies, please. Rakamashraya Kumbhi Samsevya Kambhishi Yaha, whatever, Yaha, and whatsoever, Kataha, topics, Bhagavataha, about the personality of Godhead, Kataniya, were to be spoken by me, Urukamanaha, of him who acts wonderfully. Guna, transcendental qualities. Karma, uncommon deeds. Ashrayaha, involving. Pumbi, by persons. Samsayaha, ought to be heard. Taha, all of them. Bubushubihi, by those who want their own welfare. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Those who are desirous of achieving complete perfection in life must submissively hear all topics that are connected with the transcendental activities and qualities of the personality of Godhead who acts wonderfully. Purport. The systematic hearing of the transcendental activities, qualities, and names of Lord Sri Krishna pushes one towards eternal life. Systematic hearing means knowing him gradually in truth and fact. And this knowing him in truth and fact means attaining eternal life, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita. Such transcendental glorified activities of Lord Sri Krishna are the prescribed remedy for counteracting the process of birth, death, old age, and disease, which are considered to be material awards for the conditioned living being. The culmination of such a perfectional stage of life is the goal of human life and the attainment of transcendental bliss. Omaginatimirandas ya gananjana shilakaya chakshur unmilitam yena tasmai shri guruve namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto his lotus feet. Again, this is Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 18, Text Number 10. So starting with the translation, there's so much nectar in each word here, so I'll try to cover it as best as I can. Those who are desirous of achieving complete perfection in life, first of all, the question should come into our mind, what is complete perfection? Complete perfection means pure devotee, no imperfections, no material desires, no material affections or attachments. No being affected by the three modes of material nature, such as sattva, or goodness, passion, and ignorance, tamas. One is unaffected by all of these. Such a person, and such a great person, was Srila Prabhupada. Nothing affected him. He was always in the transcendental state. sometimes a person thinks that to be in the transcendental state, that one is in the such a state that he's not seeing anything, not hearing anything, not feeling anything on the skin or the tongue. That is a transcendental state also, but it's an even deeper one because it omits, or there's no action on the senses. The senses have been withdrawn back into the mind, and one is then gradually lifted up into a state of pure Krishna consciousness, and one can see the Lord, even communicate with the Lord, and have a wonderful, peaceful, and loving relationship with the Lord. Okay, so that is what complete perfection is. We should all be asking ourselves, am I in complete perfection? I know when I ask myself, I say, absolutely not. And even if you are, it's still good to say I'm not. As a sign of humility, as a sign of modesty, and as a sign of one seeing some, perhaps some tiny little, what might appear insignificant imperfection. But because the devotee wants to go up, it doesn't hurt to put himself down. Putting oneself down simply means that I am not as good as I would like to think I am. And that way, the devotee leaves himself open for grace, for blessings, because he's in effect saying, I need, Lord, please grant me your blessings, grant me your grace, grant me what I need to do in order to become one who has complete perfection. So, as I said, many of the great sages in our movement, Sanatana Goswami, Rupa Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, even they would speak in that way. When they spoke to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for the first time, it was Sanatana Goswami, if I'm not mistaken. He said, people think, you know, that I'm a wise person, that I'm a smart person. I don't even know what the goal of life is. I don't know who I am. I don't know where I came from. I know nothing. But in your presence, all I want to do is learn and know and advance and rise to a higher position, because I realize how filthy I am, how foolish I am, how stubborn I am, and so many qualities in which he puts himself down. But he doesn't really have any of that. But that's the way he sees himself. He's trained to see himself that way, to increase his level of humility, so that he never gets proud. That's the worst thing that can happen to any of us. If we become very proud, proud meaning I'm very great, I'm very important, I'm very interesting, I'm very glorious, people praise me, they honor me, they glorify me. Just see my opulence, how great I am. So it's very easy. Of course, that's not the way it comes out in the mind. The mind is much too tricky. It doesn't let you know that you're even thinking that. That happens on a much lower level. But basically, a person may say, wow, I'm really surprised that people are praising me. Not surprised at all. He's already thought that he's great. But the mind has tricked him into thinking that he's humble. Real humility, by the way, comes from the fact that we are always thinking of the Supreme Lord as being the greatest, the highest, the best, and that the spiritual master, who's the via media transparent expression, is his perfect devotee, is the complete perfection. And when we have that attitude, then we're always in the tiny position, because how can you think of yourself as big when you think of Krishna, who's so really big? What are we next to Krishna? Krishna can manifest himself in so many bodies, as he did even in the pastime of Lord Brahma, when Lord Brahma stole away all the cowherd boys just for a trick to see exactly how glorious Krishna is. Is he really my Lord? Is he really the powerhouse that people talk? Let's do a trick. Let's find out how much he knows. So he stole the cowherd boys. He wanted to see if Krishna could find him. So Krishna looked around and pretended that he didn't know where they were. He had to put on this pastime. He knows where everything is. Nothing is hidden from Krishna. So when he didn't find the cowherd boys and the little calves, he said, well, you know, I can't go back home to the Vrindavan village without all the boys. They'll Something happened to them, something disastrous, something terrible, something bad. So I've got to have my friends. So what did he do? He manifested all these boys, over 100 of them, or hundreds of them. And as a result, each one looked the way the ones who were Brahma had stolen and put him into a trance or some type of a sleep. Each boy looked like the way and spoke like and had all the different characteristics and habits, so that when they went home and the mother saw them and they embraced them, they didn't really know that this was Krishna until when they embraced their children, they began to feel chills of ecstasy going through them. They were feeling such happiness, which they had never felt before from their own sons. Well, what do you expect? This is the Supreme Lord, the source of all joy, the source of love, the source of all blissfulness. So they were feeling that, which they normally didn't feel to that extent, because Krishna is the source. Krishna is the whole, as they say, ball of ecstasy. I didn't want to say wax. So Krishna is all that. And that's really the point. And he did that for a whole year, pretended to be that. Why? Because every one of those people in Vrindavan had been hoping and praying to the Supreme Lord that maybe somewhere or another they could have Krishna as their son. But they already had sons. So how could they have Krishna as a son? They had a different husband. So what happened was that they got their wish. For a whole year, all the moms, all the mothers, and even the fathers, they were with Krishna. And they felt the pleasure, the bliss, the happiness that they would naturally feel when they are with Krishna. Although the bodies were of their sons. So this is an amazing, this is not something you see which, happens, at some big stadium and puts on a show. Nobody can do this. It's impossible. If you take all the magicians in the world, of course they could figure out a trick. But Krishna was actually these people. He had the skin of them. He had the blood of them. He spoke like them. He had the accent. Everything was identical. So there was not the slightest suspicion that these boys were Krishna. All they knew is they felt something very, very weirdly different. And all they would do is so blissful. Even Balaram, he got tricked. He asked Krishna, what's going on here? He says, it seems like all these boys are not these boys. It looks like they got something from you. So that's interesting, because it's a point that Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. Although Balaram has met all of the qualities and characteristics, Krishna, if he wants, he could prevent Balaram's mind from learning the truth. He didn't know until 1 year later. So if anyone wonders, is he really the Supreme Personality? Well, even Balaram, who's the first incarnation, didn't know it until a year later. This is the mercy, this is the glory, this is the greatness of Krishna. So we should never doubt for a second that Krishna is the Supreme Being. Moving on. So those who are desirous of achieving complete perfection in life must submissively hear all topics that are connected with the transcendental activities and qualities of the personality of Godhead, who acts wonderfully. So it says here that if we want to achieve complete perfection, what I've already described and explained, not affected by the modes of nature, always blissful, always peaceful, always happy. All of these things. A person has complete confidence. He has complete inner strength. He has as much wealth as he needs, etc. I won't go over that again. So he must submissively hear all topics that are connected with the transcendental activities and qualities of the personality of Godhead. So, if we're desirous of achieving this great position of complete perfection, which I just described earlier, we must submissively hear all topics that are connected. So what does it mean that, first of all, it says we must, not we can or we could or we should. Must means absolute urgent. That means you can't put up an argument. Krishna says you must do this or forget about the complete perfection. Not going to happen. That's nice. When Krishna talks in that way, it means you have no alternative. You've got to do it. Or you might as well give up your desire because, as I said, it will not happen. So he said you must submissively hear. So what does it mean to submissively hear? So the word submissive means that I listen to someone. I obey someone. I look up to someone. And I am submissive when I'm in that state. And the someone is telling me, do this, do that, listen to this, open up page number 441, and I follow what he asked me to do. So that's submissiveness. It means I give up my obstinateness. I give up my sense of argumentative. I don't argue. I don't say, well, I don't think that's the best way to do it. Well, wait a minute. If you don't think it, there's a nice way to say that. Not you get into an argument with your one with your leader. Nice way to say that, for example, excuse me, my dear Prabhu or my dear Lord, what you said, I have no objection to, I have no problem with, but there is something that I would like to make some possible correction, if you would allow me to do that. So that's a submissive way of correcting a person who is a leader, because you're not in any way threatening him or challenging him. You're putting it in a very humble, very meek, very nice, and very sweet way, so he doesn't feel threatened, he doesn't feel knocked, he doesn't feel kicked, and he says, yeah, sure, what did I do wrong? Like Hayagriva Prabhu, he was an English professor back in the 60s and 70s, and Prabhupada did ask him. He said, if you see any mistakes in my grammar or in the word use, please let me know. I want this to look such that professors in the university, when they read this, they will feel that this has a professional look about it. And you are professionals, he said, I want to. So therefore, he would make different corrections and suggestions, and most of which were right, but sometimes they were a little bit too creative. Sometimes devotees can be carried away, and they're given a little power, and they carry that power beyond what is really necessary. But generally, what we're speaking about is that he would show, and he would say, the American understanding of this is such and so. He did not do that for all words. And there are words in our books in which Srila Prabhupada has his own definitions. And no one should be frightened by that. That's the way he learned it. And therefore we can relearn another definition of it. And not be frightened or scared, but be careful who you use it in front of. If we're using it in front of devotees who have learned the meaning of that, I can possibly remember one example if it comes back to me. It's not coming right at the moment. Okay. Srila Prabhupada uses the word servitude. Okay, servitude means bondage, but actually it doesn't mean bondage. What he means in that is servitorship, which is the actual word. Servitorship means a person who is in the state of being a servant. So if a person, if you say servitude in front of people who know the English language quite well, they will not understand it in the way that it's meant to be understood, because they will think that you mean in bondage, when actually what is meant is freedom. So, therefore, and we have a book, by the way, where all these little differences exist. I forgot the name of the book, but the BBT does have it, and they enter new ones all the time in case you find something which doesn't make sense. Either one can, I don't know if they can order, Savas, can they order that book or is it online? Hello? Okay. So getting back into, so therefore that is the point with this translation. Again, if we want to become, have or attain complete perfection, we must submissively hear all topics that are connected with transcendental activities and not try to be, you know, a big shot or trying to prove that you know more than the leader or the guru or the teacher. This goes on. And many persons did that, even to Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada shut them up because of the manner, the way they were acting, as if they could show that they were more intelligent than the guru. It's the whole thing is manner. It's not a question of correction. And many of those people left. They left the movement, and they went back to the material world, and they thought that that's the best thing for them. And to Prabhupada, it was the best thing for them until they learned enough of what the word is here, surrender and submission. When you know surrender, when you know submission, then your heart is open to learn more and more. Okay? So, going into the purport now. The systematic hearing of the transcendental activities, qualities, and names of the Lord, Sri Krishna, pushes one toward eternal life. Systematic hearing means knowing him gradually in truth and fact. And this knowing him in truth and fact means attaining eternal life, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita. So that's very nice that Prabhupada uses this word, the system. A system generally means that there are lots of cause and effect, which lead to a particular function. Example, okay, we have what we call a digestive system. All of us have them, I hope. So, you put some food. Krishna created this wonderful system. You take some food, you put it in your mouth, you taste it, you chew it till it's down to a liquid, and then you swallow it. Let's just say it's a piece of fruit. You know, it could be banana, it could be pear, apple. And then it goes into the stomach. Well, what happens when it hits the stomach? The first thing that happens is this hydrochloric acid, which is in the stomach, acts upon it and begins to break it down more and more, so that not only liquid, but it will be very useful for absorption from the stomach into the bloodstream. So it's worked on. There are some enzymes which work upon it also. This is system. And when the fruit is completely broken down, it's then absorbed from the stomach and it goes into the bloodstream. So the blood now has it. And what does it do with it? Well, it is part of a system. So the blood, under the direction of the brain, which is under the direction of the supersoul, carries it to the nearest and the remotest parts of the body, such as whether it's the lungs, or it may be the pancreas, or it may be the gallbladder. So the blood with the nutrition now, not just blood, it goes to these parts, saturates the cells with that blood, drops off the nutritional particles, and picks up the wastes which are lying there as a result of usage. For example, when we use a car, you step on the gas, and then out through the back there's an exhaust pipe. The exhaust pipe carries all of what? It calls the wastes. And if you don't have an exhaust pipe, the car won't go very far because it will be cluttered or clogged with wastes. Similarly, the body, if it does not have an excretory system, then it will be clogged. And that often happens, by the way. People overload this whole system. You eat more than necessary. Eat wrong foods that shouldn't be eaten. So the result is that this system that I mentioned is not put into function because it's being prevented by certain foods or by an excess of food. And the result is that when the blood goes there, it not only dumps off or jettisons the nutritional substances, but it picks up the wastes. It picks up the wastes and it will take those wastes to any one of the different excretory systems. It could be through the mouth, through the breathing. It could be through the nose, through mucus. It could be through the urinary system. It could be through the defecatory system or the stool system. It could be for the perspiratory system. All these are systems to get rid of wastes that are in the body. And if they don't come out, the body will slowly rot and fall and even die. Many people get what they call gangrene. They have an infection and it's not being taken care of. So what happens is that part of the body becomes so infected that it becomes non-functional. The wastes stay there, no nutrition coming into it, and what has to happen, because it's non-functional, for example, the hand can be cut off. Why is it cut off? Because of the fact that it has become so infected that it is non-functional. So that's the whole point. This system that Srila Prabhupada has given us, getting up early in the morning, coming to Mangalarti, and going to Tulsi Puja, and then doing 16 rounds of japa. If you want to do more, you can. And then Guru Puja. All this is to purify us, to cleanse us. Cleanse what? It cleanses the heart. Whatever lust, anger, hatred, jealousy, you know, envy, madness, sloth, you know, no one will do anything. Don't bother me. Yeah. That mentality. So what happens is those bad qualities, which are anathema, damnable, to a person who's striving for complete perfection. You can't achieve complete perfection if you're lazy. Prabhupada always said, we have to be up and doing. Be alert. So if you're just lazy and you say, the leader or your supervisor says, I want you to do this now. No, I'll do it later. No, I need it done now. I'll do it later. You know, like that's the mentality. So it doesn't get very far spiritually. In fact, it's far. He gets very far out of the ashram spirits fat quickly. Yeah, we can't. Prabhupada said so often, we don't want crazies, we don't want lazies. Okay? What did he mean by that, what I just said? Obstinacy, rivalry, those types of mentalities which are not harmonious but are opposed to the leader's wishes. Of course, if the leader were to ask you to do something which is completely foolish or too dangerous, then the devotee can say, well, you know, you want me to go and ice skate, but I don't know how to ice skate. He said, don't talk back. Just go and ice skate. So if you don't do it, because if you go on there, not only that, but the ice is thin, so it's not going to hold you. Therefore, it doesn't mean you have to do something which is mad or crazy. But it does mean that sometimes we may have to do dangerous things. And anyone who has been on Sankirtan for a few years knows that he has been put through various dangers. And if you haven't gone to jail at least once, you haven't done Sankirtan. That was the idea. Anyway, I got three to my credit. Anyway, yeah, it happened. You know, when you take risks for Krishna, sometimes even, but not, I was one of the, I forgot where it was, but it was at least 40 miles away from here. And I'm just walking with Balaram. I think we were walking together that time. And the cop stops us and he pulls over to the side. And immediately, for doing nothing, he knew we were Hare Krishnas. You know, we had the hats off, had the wigs off. And so, therefore, he gave us a ticket to appear in court. Why? Because he didn't like us. He was prejudiced. You know, there are people who don't like you if you're Hare Krishna. But the devotees actually never cared. So they did a day in jail. So they chanted, and if there were a few people there who didn't know anything about Krishna, they got a chance to do some real preaching. So a devotee never takes anything untoward or unfavorable as that. He takes it as favorable, sees it as an opportunity to begin to do something for the benefit either of himself or someone else, and that person becomes more and more gradually Krishna conscious. So we shouldn't be frightened or afraid of things which have happened to us. We should be the shelter of Krishna, depend upon Krishna, as Krishna says so nicely in the Bhagavad Gita, in all activities, just depend upon me and work always under my protection. In such devotional service, be fully conscious of me. If you become conscious of me, you will pass over all the obstacles of conditioned life by my grace. If, however, you do not, I don't know if I can handle that noise. Yeah. If, however, maybe 10 seconds. If, however, you do not work in that consciousness, but act through false ego. Me, 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 mine, 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 I, gimme, gimme, gimme. If you work in that consciousness, Krishna says, you will be lost. You cannot grow. You cannot go. You cannot do anything useful or purposeful if we do not have this devotional attitude. Moving on. So, Krishna, as he says, the systematic hearing of the transcendental activities, qualities, names of Lord Sri Krishna. This is transcendental. When you hear about Krishna, you hear about his activities. Hear his name sent. A very advanced devotee, when he just hears the name of Krishna, he goes into an ecstasy. That's a very advanced stage. Sometimes Prabhupada would go into such ecstasies. We would see tears coming down his eyes. Or when he would speak, his speech would be a little bit quavering. And that's because things around which were of a transcendental nature affected him because he was a transcendental person. So when transcendental meets transcendental, all you can get is transcendental. You can't get material. It's not going to happen. So that's why, but there's a very important word here that Prabhupada mentions, and it's this: hearing means knowing him gradually. Sometimes devotees have expectations which are impractical. They expect to get high results, what I've just read about, complete perfection, maybe in, 3-4 years, 8 years. You go to school, right? And you go for 4 years, in high school. And then after you finish 4 years, you get a diploma. Okay, I got something. Just see, my opulence. I got a diploma. Okay, next thing, college, 4 years there, gets another diploma. Just see, I'm fit to do the work of millionaires. So he's got these things. So the point is, we are badly and faultily conditioned to think that every time you do something, you have to get some reward for it. So if a person is, for example, in Krishna consciousness for 8 years, and all he does, he feels maybe a little more peaceful, a little more joyful, but he wants the complete perfection, the ecstasy, passing out. When you look at the deity, he wants everything that, for example, Prabhupada had in just, it could be 4 years, 4-year diploma, or 8-year diploma, or 12-year diploma, and he still hasn't gotten those. Therefore, this is improper expectations. We should have no expectation except the opportunity to go on serving Krishna, which is the greatest action, as it's mentioned right here, the greatest action, the greatest deed, the greatest service, work. When we are given, Prabhupada mentions it again and again, don't take devotional service lightly. Don't take it cheaply. Don't take it for granted. It is, for a miser, gold is everything. For a devotee, devotional service, whether it's little service, lot of service, it's the gold of spiritual life. And we have to think, every time we do something, and we do it for Krishna, and in that manner, that form, then what happens is that we are benefited so much. The problem is, we don't realize until later how much benefit we have gotten. And when we begin to realize how benefit we have gotten with hardly doing anything, do a little service. But Krishna, he is so kind, so merciful, so wonderful, that even if we have in our background so much filth, so much evil, so much wrongdoing, so much offense, he says, so what? It's as it mentioned, in the Bhagavad Gita, even if one commits the most abominable action, if he's engaged in devotional service, he's to be considered saintly. And he is engaged in his determination to achieve that. So the main point here is that it's not that he becomes a saint. He becomes saintly. Saintly means the qualities, the virtues, those which a person has. He doesn't have any lust or anger or greed or envy. He's peaceful. He's calm. He's self-controlled. He's self-possessed. And so many nice qualities. So that's the idea in our Krishna consciousness and what devotional service means. And we should never take it for granted that it is just another thing to do. And if we take it as something so powerful and so merciful and so great, there's no telling how much mercy, so much grace, so much bliss, so much peace Krishna will rain down upon us for the benefit of our future to reach Godhead. So I think I have, Prabhupada mentions very beautifully here that such transcendental glorified activities of Lord Sri Krishna are the prescribed remedies for counteracting the process of birth, death, old age, and disease. How long should it take? How long will it take? As long as Krishna wants it to take. He gives us some opportunity. You jump on it, you move up. You ignore it, you stay where you are, or you go down. That's simple as that. So we have to be getting into the habit of looking at devotional service as being so great, so glorious, so wonderful, so unimaginably beneficial. And when we have that idea, even picking up a little piece of paper that's lying on the floor here becomes blessed. And it's blessed because it's service. And when we get service, Krishna recognizes us and gives us the benefits. So we can all be benefited. We can all go up. We can all achieve the complete perfection if we continue to remember that Krishna is in charge. He's giving us endless opportunities, every moment actually, to chant the holy name, every moment to look at pictures of Krishna, every moment to read these books, every moment to distribute these books. The opportunities are there. If we ignore them, disregard them, don't take them seriously, we are the losers. But if we do, we are the gainers, and our life becomes fully successful. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions? Yes, Prabhu. Wait a minute. We want to get a microphone so the people online can hear you. Can we please get the microphone? Huh? There's nothing, they're not going to hear it here, though, because we've tried that. Yeah, but take a second, a few seconds. Yeah. Yes, go ahead.
Thank you, Maharaj, for the nice class.
Thank you for listening. Go ahead.
Maharaj, sometimes like we see, it's always good to have service.
Yeah.
It's always good to have service, that comes in as a group, actually, as a team.
As what?
When we do the service as a team for Krishna. Teamwork.
A team?
Teamwork.
Teamwork, yes. Okay.
Teamwork. But sometimes we see like if other members in the group are not enthusiastic enough, that basically leads to the not full success, okay, or kind of failure, right? So, what can we do in that kind of situation where we are working as a team, as a group, and everyone else is not putting up the full effort, and then we are not successful in the
question
whole.
Is clear, and it's quite simple. If somebody is not working in harmony with the rest, how does that stop you from working in harmony with the rest? Your position should be to set the perfect example. So if even nobody is working, they're working wrong, they're indifferent, they're apathetic, they're not enthusiastic, but you can be, and you set the example, and you stand out. Why do you stand out? Because you're doing what's supposed to be done, and others feel self-conscious when they see you doing what they should be doing, and they may join you. I'm saying may. They may not also. Or they may feel just envy and jealousy, which is wrong. That will take them down, and they know that. So if they see you doing what is right, and they copy what you're doing, and get into the enthusiasm, and then another one joins, before you know it, it's a team. Okay? So you have to be above and beyond criticism or above and beyond caring what other persons think, if you're doing what they're not doing but should be doing. So that's what a leader is. He never cares about what people think. Any other questions? No? No question? I'll give you 3 seconds. 1, 2, 3. Hare Krishna. Have a wonderful tasty breakfast. Hare Krishna.